الحمد لله، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه، ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم ودعاهم بدعوته إلى يوم الدين. وبرد حديث of أبو هريرة رضي الله عنه. So the hadith which I am going to read is also from أبو هريرة رضي الله عنه. وعنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إن أول الناس يقضى عليه يوم القيامة رجل استشهد فأتي به فعرفه نعمته فعرفها فقال فما عملت فيها؟ قال قاتلت فيك حتى استشهدت. قال كذبت، ولكنك قاتلت لأن يقال جريء فقد قيل. ثم أمر به فسحب على وجهه حتى ألقي في النار. ورجل تعلم العلم وعلمه وقرأ القرآن فأتي به فعرفه نعمه فعرفها، قال فما عملت فيها؟ قال تعلمت العلم وعلمته وقرأت فيك القرآن. قال كذبت، ولكنك تعلمت العلم ليقال إنك عالم، وقرأت القرآن ليقال هو قارئ فقد قيل. ثم أمر به فسحب على وجهه حتى ألقي في النار. ورجل وسع الله عليه وأعطاه من أصناف المال كله فأتي به فعرفه نعمه فعرفها، قال فما عملت فيها؟ قال ما تركت من سبيل تحب أن ينفق فيها إلا أنفقت فيها لك. قال كذبت، ولكنك فعلت ليقال هو جواد فقد قيل. ثم أمر به فسحب به على وجهه ثم ألقي في النار. رواه مسلم. أبو هريرة رضي الله عنه narrates that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم he said, indeed the first person on the day of judgment who will be judged, a man who became a shaheed, who became a martyr, he will be brought. Allah Azza wa Jal will remind him of his blessings. He will recognize them. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, what have you done with regards to my blessings? He will say, well, I have fought for you until I became shaheed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would say, you have lied. You have lied. However, you have fought so that it can be said, he is very brave. And that has been said. Then a command will be given in his regard. He will be dragged on his face until he will be thrown into the fire. Wa'iyadhu billah. This hadith is narrated by Imam Muslim, and I have just translated one part of the hadith. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah Azza wa Jal, he gave him knowledge of the awwaleen and also knowledge of the akhireen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed him what is going to happen in the future. Allah Azza wa Jal, he informed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam what is going to happen on the day of judgment. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told us about these future events. there is a difference between knowing the future and informing about the future. The unseen, the future, only Allah knows, subhanahu wa ta'ala. قُلْ لَا يَعْلَمُ الْغَيْبَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Say, nobody knows the future, nobody knows the unseen except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is going to happen tomorrow? Nobody knows. Only Allah knows. What is going to happen on the day of judgment? Nobody knows except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was so humble, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked him to say that I do not know what will happen to me. قُلْ لَا أَدْرِي مَا يُفْعَلُ بِي وَلَا بِكُمْ. Say, لَا أَدْرِي, I do not know. مَا يُفْعَلُ بِي وَلَا بِكُمْ. What is going to happen to me or what is going to happen to you? I myself do not know what is going to happen to me. So Allah Azza wa Jal, he asked Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to admit that I do not know the future. However, Allah Azza wa Jal informed him. Allah taught him. Allah gave him the knowledge more than anybody else. Allah Azza wa Jal, he informed him about so many future events. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he also has informed Sahaba radiyallahu anhum about many, many things which were going to happen, and which have, some of which have already happened, as if you have seen it with your own eyes, exactly in the same manner. So whatever Allah azza wa jal informed Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam about, he also has informed the people, the Sahaba radiyallahu anhum, and this is one of those things. You see, the Day of Judgment will be probably the most difficult time anybody has ever seen. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is Ar-Rahman, you know, merciful, compassionate. Allah azza wa jal, He tolerates. Allah, He forgives. Allah gives you chance. Allah azza wa jal, He delays the punishment. Allah is not quick in making punishment, in giving punishment as such. So people, you know, have been disobeying Him for years and years. Many people have not actually believed in Him, but Allah Azza wa Jal tolerated them. Imagine you have full control over the situation, and somebody stands up against you. What will you do? You are the boss of the company, and you have an employee. He is a human being like you. You are not superhuman being. You are a normal human being, and he is also a human being as well, right? But somehow you happen to be the CEO, and he happened to be a normal employee. You happen to be the head of the human resources, and he happened to be just, you know, working for a specific department, and for some reason he stands up against you. What will you do? How long will you tolerate him? One day, 1 month, 1 week, 1 year, 10 years? Believe me, people, many people told me in many companies, obviously this culture might vary from place to place, from country to country, but nowadays we have, you know, we have monoculture in many aspects. So in many multinational companies, for whatever reason, if they decide to get rid of you, they will eat from you. They will, you know, if they have given you laptops or USB, whatever, immediately everything will be taken off, and somebody will show you the door. No delay whatsoever. And many people told me that they will not give you any chance. to explain yourself, because a decision has been made and somehow that you were not informed of that decision. And as soon as you are informed, that's it, finished. But look at the tolerance of Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah tolerates. Allah Azza wa Jal, He delays the punishment. Although Allah has full control over everything, over everybody. وَهُوَ الْقَاهِرُ فَوْقَ عِبَادِهِ He is qahir upon His people. If He decides something, nobody can go against His will. However, He forgives. On the day of judgment, you will see a different side of the story. Day of judgment, Allah Azza wa Jalla, He will be very, very angry, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah will be so angry that people cannot afford to face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, the judgment will not start. Forgive what's going to happen. The judgment will not start. The trial will not. You're in the court and you're just waiting. You're just nervous. And this anxiety is escalating. It's going up and up and up. You don't know what's going to happen. Nobody knows what's going to happen. So much so that people will just, you know, start wandering around. Well, we should have a solution. Somebody should talk. Somebody should talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's how the people will go to Adam alayhi salam. Can you please ask Allah to just start the judgment? We just want to know what's going to happen to us. Are we going to go to Jannah? Okay, we want to know that. Are we going to go to Jahannam? We want to know that as well. But somehow we cannot keep waiting. And you also have the very detailed description of the day of judgment. It will be a very hot day. The sun will be very, very close. People will be sweating. Just recently, in some parts of the Arizona, in some parts of Canada, the temperature was more than 50 centigrade. I don't know how much is that in Fahrenheit. So many people died. In fact, many hundreds of people have just recently died because the temperature has gone just a little bit up. What's going to happen on the day of judgment? What will be the temperature in Fahrenheit or in centigrades? Or there will be another measurement, right? Because for everything there is a criteria. There is a criteria which we have made, but Allah has His own criteria. Why not? Allah has His own system in place. Although sometimes we are not aware of that. We say day, but Allah also says day. But our day and Allah's day is same. We say night, and Allah also says night. Our night and Allah's night is same. No, it is not same. إِنَّ يَوْمًا عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ كَأَلْفِ سَنَةٍ مِمَّا تَعُدُّونَ Indeed, day to your Lord is like 1,000 years. Day, إِنَّ يَوْمًا عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ كَأَلْفِ سَنَةٍ مِمَّا تَعُدُّونَ It is like 1,000 years. So, we have our own tools of measuring things. But Allah has His own ways of measuring things. We have our day, 24 hours, and then in every hour we have these many minutes and these many seconds. Okay, no problem. But does Allah's day have to be the same? No. In fact, day for Allah is like 50,000 years. خَمْسِينَ أَلْفَسَنَا In another ayah in the Quran, you have 50,000 years. Not 50 years. Not 50 years. Not 500 years, not 5,000 years, 50,000 years, one day. Have you seen anybody living for that long? 50,000 years. Believe me, even if a person lives long, he will get tired. People after a period, obviously we all have desire to live long, and we should. Why not? Allah has created us for a reason to worship him subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we should have the desire to live long so that we can worship him more, we can benefit his creation more, we can get to know him more. Because once we die, there is no upgrading. We can only upgrade as long as we are alive. We can only get closer and closer to Allah Azza wa Jalla as long as we are alive. Because after the death, the door of action is closed. So your improvement, your upgrading wouldn't stop unless Allah has mercy. So there is nothing wrong of having a desire to live long life. But generally speaking, people live 60, 70 years, okay, 80, 100 years, 120 years. Believe me, after that people will get tired. They would wish if they could die. Right? Alhamdulillah, we are Muslims. Allah Azza wa Jal has blessed us. Most of us, we have Muslim parents. This is a great blessing and ni'mah for Allah Azza wa Jal that we get to see our parents. And we also get to serve our parents. But I have visited some nursing homes where elderly people live, and the majority of these, they belong to the non-Muslims. Believe me, many elderly people, they live on their own. Nobody is there to say I love you. Nobody is there to say I miss you. Nobody is there to say, you know, how was your day, how was your night, have a good night, have a good day. They are just looking out of the window and they are just waiting for something. They are trying to keep themselves busy, but in the background, there is no purpose left for life. I have visited some nursing homes. Believe me, they are very beautiful, well managed, nice and clean, everything. But as soon as you walk in there, there is depression. As soon as you walk in there, there is no hope. As if people are just living for the purpose of living. People don't know why they are living. So, once people have lived for a period of time, they cannot live anymore. But day of judgment will not be 100 years. The day of judgment, in fact, will not be 1,000 years. And it will not be 5,000 years. Allah knows how long it's going to be. Because Allah Azza wa Jalla himself mentioned in the Quran, the day to your Lord is 50,000 years. And are those 50,000 of our years? Or are those 50,000 of Allah's years? Right? When we say 50,000 years, are they 50,000 of our years? Although that itself is quite long. Or 50,000 of Allah's? Yes, nobody knows. That's why people will be just exhausted and people will just, lose patience. So they will go to Adam alayhi salam, and Adam alayhi salam will say, I am really sorry. Today I cannot speak because I have eaten the fruit in Jannah. One small mistake. It is not even sin. Allah Azza wa Jalla said, نَسِيَ آدَمْ وَلَمْ نَجِدْ لَهُ عَزْمًا. Adam forgotten. We did not find any intention from him. Adam forgot, alayhi salam. And we did not find any wrong intention. He did not have the intention to disobey Allah Azza wa Jal. A'udhu Billah. How many times we knowingly disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We know that Allah is watching us. We know that Allah is there listening to us. We know Allah is going to ask us. We know Allah does not like this. But we disregard the commands of Allah Azza wa Jal. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Adam alayhi salam, then he forgot. So Allah himself found excuse for him. However, the more you are closer to Allah Azza wa Jal, the more you are cautious. And the more you regard your mistake, a big mistake. So Adam alayhi salam will say, please, go and find somebody else. And then they will go to another prophet, Nuh alayhi salam. Well, Nuh alayhi salam, he made dua for his son. Nuh alayhi salam, He made dua for his son because when the flood came, his own son in front of his own eyes got drowned. He called his son, come and, you know, get on the boat, get on the ship. He said, no, I will manage myself. I know how to sort out my own problems. I am very smart. I will go to the top of the mountain. Nuh alayhi salam said, La aasima al-yawma min amrillah. Today nobody can save you from the command of Allah Azza wa Jal. But still, you know, when you are young, do you think you know more or somebody else knows more? When you are young, you are smart or somebody else is smart? When you are young, you are the best person in the world. You are the strongest. You are the smartest. You are the, you know, all the adjectives. Look in the dictionary. All the good adjectives, all the positive adjectives, they belong to you. Right? Everybody else, they don't know what's going on. They don't know anything. They don't understand. Especially your parents. When you are young, especially your parents, they don't understand anything. They don't know anything. You know better than them. You have seen life. They have not seen life. You have got friends. You have got friends who advise you, who guide you. Right? Your parents, they don't understand how to guide you. Your parents, they don't know how to talk to you. So when you are young, you know, that's how it is. When you are young, you don't want to listen to anybody. And that is the test. Allah has given you all this energy, all this youth, right? And all this arrogance and all this pride. Now, do you humble yourself before Allah Azza wa Jal? If you humble yourself at that time before Allah Azza wa Jal, there is nothing more beautiful than that. Because when you are at the peak, that is when you recognize your weakness. That although for the people outside, I am at the peak, but in reality, I am at the bottom. Because no matter how strong you are, how powerful you are, how knowledgeable you are, يا أيها الناس وأنتم الفقراء إلى الله والله هو الغني الحميد. Oh people, you are all in need of Allah. Everybody is in need of Allah. Even if you make, you know, oxygen machines, you are in need of Allah Azza wa Jal. You know, these ventilators, even if you have the factory manufacturing those ventilators, you are also in need of Allah Azza wa Jal. Without Allah's permission, you cannot have a breath. You cannot have. That's why Sheikh Saadi Shirazi, rahimahullah, he said that every moment of time requires two thanks for Allah Azza wa Jal. Every moment of your life. If there was nothing else, because you have a breath going in and a breath coming out, and that is happening whether you want or not. You don't take breath intentionally. Look at the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal, that Allah did not leave it for you to decide whether I'm going to breathe now. Somebody showed me some time ago an application that actually reminds you to take breath. There is an application for that. That you download that application. I'm not saying that you should or you shouldn't, but if if someone has downloaded it, then that application will remind you in the morning, in the evening, in the afternoon, take a break now and take a deep breath, right? But look at the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal, that Allah has not left it for you. You have a nice and very strong and very consistent and very stable system in place. You are sleeping, you are awake, you are busy, you are angry, you are happy, you are upset. You don't forget your breath. Alhamdulillah, it is going on. So Sheikh Saadi rahimahullah, he says that for every moment of your life, you know, even if there was nothing else, That requires two thanks to Allah Azza wa Jal, because you have a breath going in and coming out. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. So Adam alayhi salam, he said to his son, come. He said, no, I don't want to listen to you. Why should I? So his own son got drowned right in front of his eyes. You know, you're a father, no matter what. You love your son. This is, Allah's mercy, Allah Azza wa Jalla has placed in people's hearts. So, Nuh alayhi salam, he made dua. Ya Allah, you promised that you will save my family. You promised that you will save my family. Now, if you are a believer, you have to be careful how you talk to Allah Azza wa Jalla. And if you happen to be pious, you have to be more careful. And if you have to be ultra pious, you have to be ultra careful. Right? And the more and you get closer to Allah Azza wa Jalla, the more you have to be careful how you talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Nuh alayhi salam, he simply said, Ya Allah, you promised that you will save my son. Allah Azza wa Jalla, he said, Innahu laysa min ahlik. He's not your family. How can you say he's my family? Innahu laysa min ahlik. He's not your family. Innahu amalun ghayru salih. It was a bad action. So, because Nuh alayhi salam, and obviously, Nuh alayhi salam, he made tawbah. And he simply requested Allah Azza wa Jalla, nothing more. But on the day of judgment, Nuh alayhi salam, he will also say, I'm really sorry, I cannot go and talk to Allah Azza wa Jalla. So, people will go to various prophets, and every prophet will have an excuse. And finally, they will come to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he will say, I am for that. You see, on the day of judgment, the way you will realize the greatness of Allah Azza wa Jal, the humanity will also realize the greatness of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. On that day, you will see the greatness of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You will see who he is. You will see his status before Allah Azza wa Jal. So he will go into sajda. And he will keep praying and praying and praising Allah Azza wa Jal. He will create, although Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has praised Allah Azza wa Jal like nobody else. He has already praised Allah Azza wa Jal like nobody else. He has praised Allah Azza wa Jal in the most comprehensive manner. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. But on the day of judgment, he will praise Allah Azza wa Jal with words which he will be inspired there and then. Look at Allah's mercy. Allah Azza wa Jal inspired Rasulullah in the dunya, and he will continue to inspire him even on the day of judgment. So he will praise Allah Azza wa Jal, fresh praise. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim. So Allah Azza wa Jal will say, Ya Muhammad, irfa' ra'asak. O Muhammad, raise your head. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sal tu'ta. Ask, you will be given. Ask. Whatever you ask, you will be granted. Ishfa' tushaffa'. Intercede. And your intercession will be guaranteed, will be accepted. May Allah Azza wa Jal make us of those who will receive the shafa'a of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And may Allah Azza wa Jal make us of those who will drink water from His blessed hands. So on that day, when people will be just waiting for the judgment, the first person who will be judged is a man who gave up his life. When there is a need, when there is a real need, because sometimes there is a perceived need and sometimes there is a real need. Who is going to decide what is the real need and what is the perceived need? It is the job of the ulama. It is the job of the ulama to decide whether you give your time or you give your money. Many people, they're happy to give their time. But believe me, they cannot give you a dollar. Leave it to an alim who knows Allah Azza wa Jal and ask him, what is better for me, to give my time or give my money? Some people, they can give money, but they cannot give time. Take $1,000, but don't ask me for 5 minutes. I don't have 5 minutes. $1,000, no problem. I will give you. No. For this person, sacrifice is give 5 minutes. There was a great alim in Sham. So one day, one of the wealthy businessmen, he came. You know, Arabs, they have a habit of making dua. And we should also have a habit of making dua. So, like, for example, Ajam, we go and meet an alim and we say, please make dua for me, right? Now, Arab people, they might go and ask alim to make dua for him, but they will also make dua for the alim as well. Yeah, may Allah bless you, may Allah give you long life, may Allah, you know, increase your knowledge. May Allah give barakah in your ilm. May Allah, you know, increase this, that. And there is a lot of excitement as well when they make dua. So this businessman, he went to the sheikh. He sat down. And then he kept making dua for the sheikh himself. You know, may Allah give you long life. May Allah give you barakah in your ilm. May Allah give you, mashallah, you're making a lot of sacrifice. You're doing this, you're doing that for Islam and everything else. So the Shaykh, he was listening and listening. And then he placed his hand in his pocket. And he had one lira. You know, one lira, you know, one unit of the currency. So he took out one lira and placed it in his hand. This businessman, he got shocked. What is this? Shaykh, mahada, what is this? Why you are giving me $1? Now imagine somebody is multi-millionaire. Somebody has got like $400 or $500. And you are giving him $1. What will he say? He will be just embarrassed. He will be just shocked. What is going on? He said, what is this, Ya Sayyidi? You know, my lord, my sheikh. What is this? So the sheikh said, you are doing my work. I am doing your work. You are doing my job, so I am doing your job. My job is to make dua for you. My job is to make dua for you and for the people like you, right, whom Allah has blessed with wealth. Your job is to give money for the sake of Allah, for the work of da'wah, for the work of ilm, for the work of preserving the knowledge, for spreading knowledge, for the work of Islamic institutes, awqaf, masajid, madaris. Your job is to give money. You're not doing that. You're just making dua for me. So take this $1. I will give, this is what I have now. So take this. It is the job of the ulama to know what is good for whom. Yes. Giving up your life is the most precious thing for anybody. But can you give up life anywhere? Can you have a fight with somebody for $5, for $20 and give up your life? And you say, oh, I was very brave. Can you say on the Day of Judgment, I was very brave. I had a fight for $20 and I took his life or he took my life. A'udhu billah. Your wife, your life is worth $20? Is your life worth $20 million? Can somebody put a value to your life? Can somebody put a value to somebody's life? No. Your life is more precious than the entire world. One person's life is more precious than Kaaba as well. Although the Kaaba is the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this man, he gave up his life. But there is something more important than giving up your life, which is giving up your nafs. Giving up your pride. Giving up your arrogance. giving up the ill qualities, that is more difficult, that is more challenging, and that is more demanding. This man, he gave up his life, but did he learn sincerity before giving up his life? Was he sure that he is giving up his life for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, or for something else, for somebody else? So this man, he will be brought before Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah Azza wa Jal, he will talk to him. And on the day of judgment, Allah will talk to people directly. There will be no tarjuman. In the hadith it is mentioned, there will be no tarjuman, no interpreter, no translator. There will be no secretary, no person in between Allah and you, subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the manner which Allah knows. What will happen to people when you are there and nobody else, subhanahu wa ta'ala? فَعَرَّفَهُ نِعْمَتَهُ Allah will say and remind him about his blessings. I have given this. I have blessed you in this manner. Can somebody deny? Can somebody lie? Can somebody deny? فَعَرَفَهَا He will recognize all those blessings. Yes, you gave me this. Now Allah will say, فَمَا عَمِلْتَ فِيهَا Okay, I have given you all of this. What have you done? Now, mashallah, his answer is ready. Right? I took somebody's life for $20. His answer is ready. We were having an argument. So I thought he's going to shoot me. So I shoot him for $20. We were having a fight. So I was more brave than him. Allah will say, what have you done? He will say, قَاتَلْتُ فِيكَ حَتَّى أُسْتُشْهِدْ Well, I kept fighting until I became martyr. I was brave. I kept fighting until I became shaheed. Allah Azza wa Jalla, now He will declare the reality. He will say, كَذَبْتْ You have lied. You have lied. Look at the beauty of Rasulullah's language. Right? In such a situation, people will say, you are lying. Isn't it? If you have a situation like this, you are interrogating somebody, what do you say? You are questioning somebody, what do you say? You say, you are lying. Right? That is the natural language which people speak. But look at the language of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah ﷺ, he said that Allah will say, you have lied. Why? Because past tense expresses confirmation. Obviously you would know better than me. You have past and you have present and you have future. And then past perfect and I don't know what else. Right? You must have learned your grammar. So, present is not confirmed. Happening. Something else might happen. Right? But past is past. It is confirmed. That's why wherever confirmation is required, you use the past tense. You don't use the present tense. Wherever confirmation is required, you use the past tense, you don't use the present tense. For example, somebody is getting married. And mashallah, you have lots of young people. I don't know who has plans. Everybody has plans. So when you get married, you don't say, I intend to get married. Or you don't say, I am planning to get married. If somebody says that, would the nikah be valid? You use the past tense. I have married you. In the Arabic you say, تَزَوَّجْتُ نَكَحْتُ This is a bonus. One day it might help, why not? So you use the past tense. So Rasulullah is saying, Allah will say, Kadhabt, you have lied. There is no doubt about it. You have lied. وَلَكِنَّكَ قَاتَلْتَ لِأَنْ يُقَالَ جَرِيءٌ. You have fought so that it will be said, you are brave. فَقَدْ قِيلٌ. That has been said. People have talked about you, mashallah. He was so brave that for $20, he took somebody's life. Isn't that happening nowadays? For $20, people taking somebody's life. For a football, for a soccer ball, people taking somebody's life. For parking in space, people take somebody's life. For jumping in the queue, people say, take somebody's life, right? Allah will say, فَقَدْ قِيلٌ. It has been said. People have already said that you are brave. That's it. ثُمَّ أُمِرَ بِهِ فَسُحِبَ عَلَىٰ وَجْهِ. Because that is the day of judgment. On that day, there is no mercy. On that day, you will see the qahr, وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. So although he was a nice person, everybody knew him as a shaheed, as a martyr. Everybody knew him as a great person in the history. As a noble person, that doesn't matter. Nobody is going to ask Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah is giving His judgment. فَسُحِبَ عَلَىٰ وَجْهِهِ حَتَّى أُلْقِيَ فِي النَّارِ. He will be dragged on his face. You know, the angels, they could nicely take him and throw him in the hellfire, right? The angels, Allah gave them so much power, they can actually lift the town. The angels, not all of the angels, one angel can simply lift that, you know, the way you lift a table, the way you lift a chair, right? One angel, he can nicely and smoothly dig under the town, city, entire city, and he can nicely lift it and then flip it. Allahu Akbar. Allah has given that much power. Like nowadays, I visited a place where people told me there is a house which has been moved. There was a historical house, right? And somehow they decided to expand the road, whatever. Now they did not want to demolish the house because that was a historical house. So actually, they had to come up with so many creative ways of lifting the entire house and moving it somewhere. I have seen that house. Okay, if people can lift a house, why can't an angel lift the town? Why can't an angel lift the entire town? That happened to the people of Sadum, to the people of Lut alayhi salam. So the angels, they can nicely throw this person into the hellfire, but that will not happen. فَسُحِبَ عَلَىٰ وَجْهِهِ. He will be dragged on his face. This is for humiliation. They will lift him from his legs. So the head will be down on the floor. And they will drag him into the hellfire. حَتَّى أُلْقِيَ فِي النَّارِ. Until he will be thrown into the hellfire. وَرَجُلٌ تَعَلَّمَ الْعِلْمَ وَعَلَّمَهُ وَقَرَأَ الْقُرْآنَ. You see, the people who are making sins, the people who are committing sins, they are not the only ones who are in danger. Generally, we think that the people who are away from the masajid, the people who are away from the halaqat of ilm, the people who are away from religious gatherings, the people who drink alcohol, the people who do gambling, they are in danger. No, the people who are in the masajid, they are in danger. The people who are following the right path, they are in danger. The people who are doing the work of Allah Azza wa Jalla, they are also in big danger. How come? Intention. Intention. If you have the right intention, alhamdulillah, there is mercy of Allah Azza wa Jalla. So keep asking Allah to keep your intention pure. Keep asking. Every day ask Allah Azza wa Jal. Ya Allah, forgive me. Ya Allah, purify my intention. Ya Allah, purify my intention. Ya Allah, purify my intention. However, if there is any contamination in the intention, that's it. All the hard work is gone. You have built a masjid, that is gone. Masjid is there, but the amal is gone. Masjid is not the building, masjid is the amal. Masjid is the amal. Amal is not, amal does not, you know, the box is empty in the eyes of Allah Azza wa Jal. You have not built the masjid. Finished. You have bought a carpet for the masjid. Okay, the carpet is there, but the amal is not there because of the contamination of the intention. You have done, you know, lot of good work for the community. Intention is not there. It is gone. So the people who are, that's why the people who do the good deeds, they are in danger because of the intention. So the second person, رَجُلٌ تَعَلَّمَ الْعِلْمَ وَعَلَّمَهُ أَمَانْ هِ لَنْ عِلْمٍ. Man meaning person. A person, whether a man or a woman. He learned ilm, and he taught ilm. Not only he learned ilm, he actually taught ilm. Many people, they want their children to learn, and they want their children to teach as well. Right? Okay, teach as well, but also make sure that they have good intention. Because if the intention is not there, some people told me that in some institutes, they say to the children who are studying, who are at the early stages of their studying, that inshallah, once you graduate, we will employ you here to teach. Once he is not in the final year, if somebody is in the final year, okay, you have already seen him for many, many years. He's about to graduate, and there is a need, there is a vacancy. He has simply joined recently, and you just want to make him happy, make his parents happy. And you say that, inshallah, once he will graduate, you know, we will employ him, we will employ her. I don't know, Allah knows best. I don't know what to say about this. Right? We should not seek ilm. We should not seek ilm for the purpose of having name. We should not seek ilm for the purpose of actually even teaching. Because even teaching should be for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. So learning should be for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, and teaching should be for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. So learning cannot be for the purpose of teaching. Although once you learn, you teach. But when you are learning, your intention is not that, inshallah, I will gather 5 people around me, and I will make them sit for 2 hours. And no, that is not the way. Keep learning, keep learning, keep learning, keep learning, keep learning for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. And when it is time for you to teach, Allah will facilitate that. Why not? Many ulama in the past, they did not sit for teaching until somebody would tell them, now it is time for you to teach. You see, we have lots of formalities. So when you have formalities, sometimes the spirits of the matters will be diluted. So we have formalities of learning, we have formalities of teaching, and we have formalities of so many things. But in the early days, there was no formality. People would learn for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, and people would teach for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. So many ulama, they would keep learning. Many ulama, they did not write books until the age of 40. Until the age of 40, they would not write. Many ulama, they only wrote, you know, few books. Some ulama, they have written lots of books. But many great ulama only have written 2-3 books. That's it. How come? Because they did not want to write anything until they themselves are confident. But if you have sincerity, if you have ikhlas, that one book might benefit lots of people. So a man who has learned ilm and he has taught ilm, he read the Quran nice and beautiful, mashallah, so beautiful voice. And people are looking for beautiful voice. Where are you praying Taraweeh? Where are you praying Taraweeh? I go to such and such masjid. Why? Because there is a beautiful qari. I go to such and such. Well, what about the masjid next door? No. Masjid next door? No. That is not for me. Masjid of your locality? It's empty. That's not for me. I pray behind such and such qari because I like the beautiful voice. Well, there is an alim next door. That's not for me. There is a more pious person. I'm not worried about piety and all these things. That doesn't bother me. I want to listen to the beautiful voice. I want to be moved. I want to have excitement. Right? Rasulullah ﷺ, he has informed about this. That there will be people who will read the Quran and who will exaggerate, I'm not translating the word for word, but the meaning of the hadith, they will exaggerate the way they pronounce and the way they speak and the way they present themselves, nice and elegant and beautiful, everything is pre-planned and pre. They will read the Quran nice and beautiful, but the Quran will not go down their throat. The Quran will not go down their throat. So a man, he read the Quran, فَأُوْتِيَ بِهِ, he will be brought. Now these are the first people on the Day of Judgment. أُوْتِيَ بِهِ فَعَرَّفَهُ نِعَمَهُ, Allah will made him aware of his blessings. I gave you this. I gave you the knowledge of the Quran. I gave you the knowledge of Deen. What have you done? فَعَرَفَهَا, he will recognize. قَالَ فَمَا عَمِلْتَ فِيهَا, Allah will say, what have you done? قَالَ تَعَلَّمْتُ عِلْمَ. Now because he had answer ready. Like when you prepare for exams, there is question and there is also answer book, right? So you have already memorized the answers. Nowadays this is what people do. They memorize the answer. And they think that is knowledge. That is knowledge. فَعَرَّفَهُ فَعَرَفَهَا, he will recognize. قَالَ فَمَا عَمِلْتَ فِيهَا, قَالَ تَعَلَّمْتُ الْعِلْمَ وَعَلَّمْتُهُ وَقَرَأْتُ فِي الْقُرْآنِ. Well, I have sought ilm, I have taught ilm, and I have read the Quran for you. He will say to Allah, I have read the Quran for you. قَالَ كَذَبْتُ, Allah will say, you have lied. You have lied. وَلَكِنَّكَ تَعَلَّمْتَ الْعِلْمَ لِيُقَالَ إِنَّكَ عَالِمٌ. However, you have learned ilm so that it can be said, you are a knowledgeable person. وَقَرَأْتَ الْقُرْآنَ لِيُقَالَ هُوَ قَارِئٌ. And you have read the Quran so that it can be said, he is a qari. فَقَدْ قِيلَ, it was said. People have talked about you, mashallah, you have a very beautiful voice. People have listened to you for hours and hours. People have prayed behind you. People have come from all over the place to pray Taraweeh behind you. That has been said. ثُمَّ أُمِرَ بِهِ فَسُحِبَ عَلَىٰ وَجْهِهِ حَتَّى أُلْقِيَ فِي النَّارِ. Again, Allah Azza will command about him. And وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ, he will be dragged on his face. No, imagine a qari of the Quran is dragged on his face. What will happen to us? A person who spent his life reading the Quran and teaching the Quran, but if the intention is spoiled, what will happen to us? Allahu Akbar. فَسُحِبَ عَلَىٰ وَجْهِهِ حَتَّى أُلْقِيَ فِي النَّارِ. He will be dragged on his face until he will be thrown into the fire. The reason why Imam Tabrizi rahimahullah, he brought this hadith here, it will remind the people who are seeking ilm that the people should seek ilm for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ilm should be sought for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not for anything else. Not for anything else. Not even for a religious position. Not even for religious service. Yeah, you know, children, because sometimes they don't have awareness and they cannot understand everything. So you might say, okay, inshallah, you will become a great imam. You will become a great alim. You will give nice speech. You will give nice khutbah. But is that the pure intention? Is that the pure intention? No. The pure intention is that I just want Allah to be happy with me. Nothing else. Nothing more. I just want Allah to be pleased with me. There is a famous story about Nizam al-Mulk. He visited Madrasa Nizamiya. So, mashallah, lots of students. And in the past, the governments, they used to sponsor the madaris and masajid. And they used to spend lot of money, lots of awqaf. So the people who are, you know, who are teaching in madrasas, they are the elite. The imams in the masjid, they are the elite of the society. Because the ulama, they used to be judges. They used to be advisors for the government. They used to be the, you know, the ministers. The ulama, they used to be on all the important positions. So if you are seeking ilm, actually you are preparing for civil service. If you are seeking ilm, actually you are preparing to become a great politician, to become, you know, advisor, to become, like nowadays you have parliament, for example, or, you know, House of Representatives, or lower house, upper house, House of Lords. So you are seeking ilm, actually you are preparing yourself. So Nizam al-Mulk, he visited madrasa, and mashallah, you have lots of students. Mashallah, nice boy, nice child. What are you studying? Well, I am studying such and such books. Have you memorized the Quran? Yes, I have memorized the Quran. Okay, what are you going to do once you finish your studies? Well, my father, he is a qazi. My father, he is judge in the Sharia court. I want to become the judge in the Sharia court. I want to become the qazi as well. Okay, that's good. Well, no problem. He will go and see another. Okay, mashallah, what have you done? Okay, I have studied this. Okay, what are you going to do once you finish your studies? Well, my dad, he's the imam of the biggest masjid in the town. My father, he's the imam of the greatest masjid in the town. I want to become imam in his place. First, I will become assistant imam. First, I will become assistant imam. And then I will be upgraded to the main imam. Why not? I want to be the imam of the greatest masjid in the town. What's wrong with that? I want to become imam. I want to lead the prayer. You know, salah is ibadah, right? I want to lead the prayer. Okay. He moves on. So he's moving and he's talking to the students, and everybody has intention like this. I want to become an imam, I want to become the qazi, I want to become the minister, I want to become the advisor for the government, I want to teach, I want to become the head of the teachers in the madrasa. Why should I just become a teacher? I should become the head of the studies for tafsir, I should become the head of the tafsir department, I should become the head of hadith department, I should become the head of the fiqh department. Why not? Then there was a child in the corner somewhere. He approached that child and he also talked to him. And then he repeated the same question. Okay, what's your plan once you finish your studies? He said, I'm just studying for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm just studying for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I don't want anything else. I don't want to become imam. I don't want to become judge. I don't want to become the head of the studies of tafsir. I don't want anything. I just want my Allah to be happy with me. And that was Imam Ghazali. That child that became Imam Ghazali. You say Ghazali with the Fatha and Za. Or you say Ghazali with the Shadda and Fatha. Shadda and Fatha. Both are correct. But easy, you know, Fatha is easy. So go for the easy one. And lots of people, they go for the easy option. So Imam Ghazali, rahimahullah, that was that child. The minister, he said, if I had not talked to this child, I would have just closed the madrasa. If I had not met with this child today, I would simply have decided to close the madrasa. Because nobody has the intention to please Allah Azza wa Jal. That's why our intention is very delicate. It is very difficult to find out if we have the pure intention or if we have intention which looks pure, but actually it is not pure. It looks nice, but actually it is not nice. I used to, you know, sometimes buy water bottles, because usually we have impression that the bottled water is pure. And one day a friend of mine, he told me that this water bottle is not better than the tap water. It is same. Then I said, okay, explain to me scientifically how it is same. Then he said that actually what matters is the pH value for the water. pH value. Now many bottles, they don't actually tell you what is the pH value. They don't print that information, because simply they don't have that information. Or if they tell you that information, you will not buy the bottle. So it looks pure, it looks better than the tap water, but actually it is same as the tap water. In fact, that's why the Zamzam and the other water, if you look at it, it is same. But is it same? The mineral values of Zamzam water are different. The mineral values, even the pH value for Zamzam water is different from the normal water. And some people have experienced and also have done experiments. You read Surah Fatiha in the water, the value will change. You read the Quran and the value will change. Even if the value from outside, if it does not change, from inside, which cannot come under our measure, it will change. Why not? Because when you just say Bismillah, it is different. When you just, you know, not the whole Fatiha, if you just say Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim and you eat, that is different. That food is different. You just say Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim and drink water, that water is different. How come? A man, he complained to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ya Rasulullah, you know, we eat and we are not satisfied. People eat and they are not satisfied. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that mu'min eats in one intestine and kafir, he eats in seven intestines. Al-mu'minu yakulu fi mi'an wahidin wal-kafiru yakulu fi sab'ati am'a. Mu'min eats in one intestine and kafir eats in seven intestines. So how is he going to be satisfied? Right? So intention matters. This man, Allah Azza wa Jal, he will drag him. Although he is doing the work of deen. But what is deen? what is deen is different from what looks deen. What is deen is different from what looks to be deen. Because deen, if you, you know, if you pinpoint, it comes to ikhlas. It comes to the sincerity. Allahu Akbar. وَرَجُلٌ وَسَّعَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَأَعْطَاهُ مِنْ أَصْنَافِ الْمَالِكُ. Inshallah, I will brief. So, a man, Allah has expanded upon him and given him from various types of mal. You have land, you have cash, you have animals, you have shares, you have assets. Some people have so much money, they don't even know where the money is. Right? Subhanallah. Today somebody phoned me and he said that my mother, she had shares in a business and nobody knew. Probably she herself forgotten. And after so many years she passed away, and the value of that share, mashallah, is so much. So it happens. So Allah has given him asnaful mal, various types of mal. Okay. فَأُوْتِيَ بِهِ. Allah will, he will be brought forward. فَعَرَّفَهُ نِعْمَهُ فَعَرَفَهَا. Allah will make him recognize his blessings. And he will recognize his blessings. Yes, Ya Allah, you have given me this. قَالَ فَمَا عَمِلْتَ فِيهَا. What have you done with regards to this asnaf al-mal, various types of mal? I have given you land. I have given you land. What have you done with the land? What have you done with the land? Okay, you have 5 acres. 5 acres of land. 10 acres of land. What have you done with those 10 acres? What have you done with those 10 acres? I visited Hyderabad recently. So I visited some wedding halls. MashaAllah. Giant and massive wedding halls. I was, I did not go before. In some wedding halls, you have large parking lot. Parking arrangement, nice, beautiful, everything. Okay, that's good. Then, so you have a hall, you rent it out. That is your choice. Masjid next door, masjid in 5 minutes walk. Believe me, tiny masjid. No light, no carpet, no heating, no air conditioning, no wudu area. You just squeeze yourself to make wudu. There is no place to buy, park a bike. Forget about cars. You cannot even park a bike. Hardly you can get in and get it out. No, what is wrong with all these Muslims? What is wrong? How are they going to please Allah Azza wa Jal if they cannot give their land for the sake of masjid? Allah has given you so much land. Well, give it for masjid. Why the people of the masjid have to raise money to buy the land? A'udhu billah. If no Muslim has land, no problem. Okay, put the money together and buy land. If all the Muslims have land, why should somebody buy land? What for? Okay, one Muslim, his intention is not good. Or, he's free to donate, not donate, no problem. Two Muslims, they have land. Okay, they have not done. 5, 10, 100 people, 1,000 people, they have land. Now, out of 1,000 people, nobody is there to give his land for the sake of a madrasa. Nobody is there. How come? And then you want to have all the blessings. You want to have all the barakah. You want to have the family nice and happy. You don't want to have a fight, husband and wife. You don't want to have corona. You don't want to have... I have in the same neighborhoods, I visit madrasas, running from a small house, running from a small building, office is there, and madrasa, classroom is there, and the children, they don't have proper facility to sit down, to study, to eat. And these children, they're reading the Quran, they're learning the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And you have wedding halls next door, in the same area, in just 5 minutes drive. Big, big, massive wedding halls, like palaces. Okay, have a palace, have 10 palaces. What about Allah's right? Where is Allah? Where is Allah in our life? Where is Allah in our life? Allah. My brother, may Allah reward him, he has a madrasa for girls. So some time ago he told me that we want to buy land so that we can build madrasa. I told him, why you want to buy land? The Muslims in your area, they don't have land? He said, yes. I said, is it one Muslim who has land that he does not give his land for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal? He said, no, lots of people have. I said, let the people know that they should donate the land for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. If they donate, they donate. If they don't donate, don't worry. Your job is done. Your job is done. Let them donate land. Why not? People should donate what they have. Somebody has land, he should give land. Somebody has 5 houses, well, let him donate 1 house for the sake of Allah. Why not? Somebody has 5 houses and he donates $1,000. Is that how you please Allah Azza wa Jal? Allah is in need of your $1,000. Somebody has $10 million and he donates $100,000. Is that how you please Allah Azza wa Jal? Is Allah in need of your $100,000? Allah is not in need of your $100,000. لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. There is nothing better than learning the Quran. Because the Quran, you know, pinpoints the human psychology. Because Allah's kalam, Allah knows what is going on. Allah knows what is going on. That's why, look at Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the best teacher. He said to the women, give sadaqah even if it has to be jewelry. تَصَدَّقْنَا وَلَوْ مِنْ حُلِيِّكُنَّا تَصَدَّقْنَا وَلَوْ مِنْ حُلِيِّكُنَّا. Give sadaqah. Well, why should the men give sadaqah all the time? Let the women give sadaqah as well. Okay, I'm a woman. I don't have cash. I don't earn money. Well, you don't earn money, but you have inherited money from your father, from your grandfather, from your uncle, right? Okay, you don't have money, but you have money. Your husband has given you a lot of mahar. Okay, where is that mahar gone? You don't have money, but your husband has given you a lot of gold. Your father has given you a lot of gold. Where is that gold? Why is it hiding somewhere? لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. You will not attain piety until you spend from what you love. You spend from what you love. You love $1 million, give up $1 million. Okay, you are a poor person, you have $1,000, give $100, no problem. You are very poor, you only have $100, give $10, no problem. You are really poor, that you only have $1, okay, give 10 pence or 10, you know, cents, no problem. But, so Allah Azza wa Jal, He has given him asnaful mal, various types of mal. He will be broad, Allah will made him recognize his blessings, and he will recognize his blessings. Then Allah will say, فَمَا عَمِلْتَ فِيهَا. What have you done? He will say, مَا تَرَكْتُ مِن سَبِيلٍ تُحِبُّ أَن يُنْفَقَ فِيهَا إِلَّا أَنْفَقْتُ فِيهَا لَكَ. I have not left any path where you would like the money to be spent, except that I have spent in that path money for the sake of you. I have built masjid, I have built madrasa, I have built a hospital, I have given to the orphans, I have supported this cause, I have supported that cause, this charity, that. In fact, I was the member of so many, I was heading so many charities. This is what people do. Once they become a little bit more rich, then they want to be the board members of charities. I was, you know, board member of orphan charities. I'm the board member of this charity. Once you have money, the best thing you do is that you dedicate your time for ilm. Once you have money, well, you're free now. So you dedicate your time for the seeking of ilm. تحب أن ينفق فيها إلا أنفقت فيها لك. قال كذبت. Allah will say, you have lied. ولكنك فعلت ليقال هو جواد فقد قيل. However, you have done so that it can be said he is very generous. And that has been said. People have talked about you. Your name was written at the entrance of the masjid, that this masjid was built by such and such person. This madrasa is built by such and such person. People have talked about you. ثُمَّ أُمِرَ بِهِ فَسُحِبَ بِهِ عَلَىٰ وَجْهِهِ ثُمَّ أُلْقِيَ فِي النَّارِ. Then he will be commanded and he will be dragged on his face and then he will be thrown into the hellfire. وَلَيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ رَوَاهُ مُسْلِمٍ. May Allah Azza wa Jalla protect us and may Allah Azza wa Jalla give us tawfiq to seek ilm and teach ilm and learn ilm and depart ilm for the sake of his pleasure only. And may Allah Azza wa Jalla purify our intentions in every single action, in every single moment of our life. May Allah Azza wa Jalla forgive our shortcomings. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanallah wa bihamdihi, wa shukrullah.